God is moving not only here in Open Bible, First Open Bible, but also throughout the world. We see fires being started all over in many different places of the world. And I don't believe they're going to diminish. I believe they're going to grow. More fire, more fire. And that's what we want for us here. So to introduce myself and for you to follow along, my name is John Helmuth, and my wife Shirley with us. We have a ministry called Voice of Life Ministries. We get to travel the world and share the gospel. We're home now for a little while. We do thank you for all your prayers and support when we do go. If you want to follow along on the Bible, if you have a Bible app on your phone, go to the right corner and hit more, and then go to events and choose First Open Bible. We'll talk about the prodigal and put the name title to the message, Coming Home, because that's where the joy is, that's where the healing is, that's where things are restored, is when we come back home. And as Pastor read almost the whole, I believe, read the whole passage last week, I won't do that again, but I want to talk about the from 11 to 24, those 13 verses, and share the gospel. But first of all, I want to give honor today to the presence of God. He's here in this room, and so are the majestic angels that are watching over us. They're in this room, and we want to honor them. And in the same time, we take control of the enemy and say, you are defeated. You have no place in this place. This is not your place. Leave. We bind you up in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So, also I wanted to share that while we were in the nations of the world in Argentina last year, we had, during the preaching of the word, during the worship, during the preaching of the word, we had people healed. And not because of me or someone else preaching, it was because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the room. Amen. So I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is here today, and if you need a touch, and those who are homesick and otherwise watching online, that the healing can go directly to your home, directly into your life, and touch you and change your life as well. So don't give up. We sing that song, don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle, because God is working miracles today for you and me. And I like to talk to the young guys over here, the young girls and guys, because you are so important in this story of the prodigal son. There was a man, Jesus tells a story. There was a man that had two sons. And the younger one, if we go to Luke chapter 15 and verse 12, the younger one said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. The New Living says, I want my share of the estate now before you die. That sounds like somebody who is really in rebellion. And I want to share some of my story this morning. I too was a prodigal, still am a prodigal as far as that goes, set free. It was different than this story. But I was raised to, well, before I do that, we could say, these guys and girls over here, your age, you'd come to your dad and you would say, Dad, I'm tired of living by your rules. I want to do what I want to do. You and Mom are so strict. I need some freedom. And by the way, I can handle myself okay, right? I don't need you to tell me how to live. Just give me some money and I'm out of here. That was the attitude of the prodigal son, the younger son, right? Well, we find ourselves when we look at our lives and we find some of the same things that happened in our lives. I was personally raised in an Amish Mennonite environment. And before I throw my dad or mom under the bus, I want to tell you, they were great parents. They loved the Lord. They taught me how to accept Jesus. You know, it was heaven or hell in those days. The word was, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. And it's still that way. It hasn't changed. And when you accept Jesus, you get to be invited to spend eternity in heaven with him. And they took me to church, never missed a service. But we had some different ideas when I got a little older. I had a little different ideas than they did, you know. But we're all prodigals, you know that? Or have been. What does prodigal really mean? One who spends, gives away money, time, gives away energy foolishly, recklessly, wastefully. I think that fits a lot of us. And this is what the prodigal is bringing out, that the prodigal was in those days. And the second part is one who is returned after a long absence. You know, when you're away from home and you come back, they could call you a prodigal. But prodigal can be used negatively and positively. I don't know if you knew that or not. The negative would be reckless, wasteful, and the positive would be generous or extravagant. So I want to be the positive one today, generous and extravagant. But we are here because we believe that when the family of God gets together and we worship together and we read, hear the word together, that we become stronger in our walk with the Lord. And the purpose is to mature us to the place where we can then go out and help others. I don't like to miss a service here. When we're gone on the foreign field, we miss the worship, we miss the preaching here. This is our family. We've been coming here for over 20 years, and I'm excited always to come here because I feel the presence of God, which is here today and is here now. It hasn't left since we stopped worshiping. The Spirit of God is in this place to touch your life, to change your situation, to do something maybe that has never happened in your life before, and that is to bring you into a presence, into his presence, into his touch. So hang with me for a few moments as I share part of my story. I have three different parts of it. I won't bore you real long because they were saying if we go to two services, I have to cut mine shorter because we got to get used to having shorter services. So I only have 4 pages of notes instead of 7. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Of course, I can talk a lot in between those pages, right? Hallelujah. But God is moving. But I was born and raised in Amish faith. I came home after voluntary service of 2 years, and I started dating my beautiful wife, Shirley. And one day my dad came to me and said, you know, if you marry her, a worldly woman, a woman of the world, you know, because we were Amish and we were, anyone that's not Amish or dressed Amish is of the world to them. He said, now if you marry this worldly woman, I could probably cut you out of the will. Threatened me. But guess what? Me, I'm 21 now, and I said, keep your money, because I'm old enough to make my own decisions. I did. I said that to him. Plus, I love her. And of course, we got married. And by the way, April 4th will be 55 years that we've been married. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he told me all kinds of stories of Amish guys that married a worldly woman and they wish they wouldn't have done that later. And he had all these stories that he had heard. And, like, again, I love my dad. We have had a great fellowship before he passed. We got along great. Okay, before he passed. So because we got married and I left the faith, the church excommunicated me and her. They call it shunning. They're not supposed to eat with you or fellowship with you or have any business dealings with you at all. And See, my dad was a pastor of the Beachy Amish Church in the Kelowna area, and Shirley's dad, the one of the world, her father was the Pentecostal pastor of Full Gospel Revival Center. And at that time, I didn't really care because I was running away from God, or thought I was, religion, and anything outside of the Amish faith was okay with me. I just wanted to get out of that strict, those strict rules. And I'm not bashing the Amish, please. They're great people. They teach the Word of God. There's a lot of great, great people in the Amish fellowship. But about, you know, I still was a prodigal after we got married. It didn't really change until we started going to Full Gospel Revival Center where her father was pastor, until one day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit a couple of years after our marriage, and things began to change radically in my life. And that's what you need today. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit, seek the Lord and find that baptism, because it changes your life, gives you power in those areas where you're weak. Doesn't mean I haven't made a lot of mistakes since then, but it means that I can bounce back after going through hard times and trials and realize that God is the one that we turn to. So after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and my life changed, we became the youth pastors of Full Gospel Revival Center, and then later became the pastors for 20 years, and then later resigned and started going to the nations, which we've been going to for almost 30 years. 34 years, she says. Almost 40? Man, that's a lot of time when I'm only 50, right? No, okay. That's the first part of my story. But I was in rebellion, and in this story, we see the son who was in rebellion. And rebellion's a horrible place to be. You say, why? Because it separates you from your friends, your family, everything that's good, and most of all, importantly, it separates you from God. And I don't know if any of you have ever been really separated from God, but it's an awful feeling. I wanted to feel God when I was in rebellion. I wanted to hear God so bad. I wanted him to speak to me, and I couldn't. It's like there was a wall there. But when you're away from God, you have to also watch out, because Satan moves in very quickly. And he wants to take over your life. So we see in this story, this boy, he got his money. He went to a foreign land, which was Gentile land, because everything outside of Israel was Gentile land. And then his resources ran out, and his friends left him, and a famine came, and he finds himself doing work that he would never had to do at his father's farm or his father's home. See, sin promised freedom, but sin only brings slavery. If you go to John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." And he was talking to the Jewish leaders in verse 31. He's saying, if you obey my word, you're my disciples. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They didn't understand that. They said he had a devil. But he said, no, I don't have a devil. And we know he didn't. And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hallelujah. So we have eternal life. It's a gift that God gives us. But when we sin, it's death. We're going to have a death experience. And so the second part of my story is, the whole time that my wife and I were dating, and we went to the Beachy Amish youth groups, and everybody liked Shirley because she knew the Word of God, and she challenged them on the Scripture. And then she challenged my father on Scripture, which no woman has ever done before. And you know, he loved her. He got to the place where he accepted her as his daughter. And they never rejected us or never shunned us when we went to their house to eat. They always accepted us. And I really appreciated that about my mom and dad. And about 7 years after we were married, I had the pastors of the church come to me, and they said, "People are saying that that you, by your lives, you're serving the Lord. And, you know, we're wondering about the ban that's on you. And we would like to remove that if you'll tell us your testimony. So I told them all about the Holy Spirit and how it changed my life. And they went back to the church and voted and was able to remove the ban from us because the people wanted to associate with us, but they also, I had an automobile shop, repair shop, and they wanted me to do work on their cars. And they couldn't because there was this ban there. So things really changed. Hallelujah. So repentance. Finally, the son in this story comes to repentance. He says in verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. You know, to repent means to change. There's a lot of people that say they believe and they say, I'm sorry, but they never change their life. So when he came to himself, does that mean that he was out of his mind? Maybe. He was driven by lust, by desires that were wrong. He couldn't even think straight until he got to the bottom where he finally had to stop and say, what am I doing? Is this crazy or what? Back home, my father would never treat me like this. I wouldn't have to eat that pig slop to stay alive. I wouldn't have to even feed the pigs. He said, I'm just going to go home and tell Father, oh, I'll do whatever you want. So there's three things. He finally sees, you know, the folly of his sin. There's three things that he did. He admitted he was a sinner. He admitted that he had done wrong. Number two, I think that his eyes were opened and he began to see the Father in a brand new light. Isn't it always that way when we are young and we're full of everything and we know it all and mom and dad don't know anything, and then finally we mature a little bit and we say, oh, dad and mom were pretty smart back then. I just didn't recognize it. And the third thing, he said, I'm going to arise and go. He's going to go back home. See, repentance, true repentance, takes a change. We have to change. We have to realize that we're a sinner. We've sinned and we're a sinner. That we need to change and understand that there's a Father who loves us and is forgiving. And he wants to help us. And so if we're going to receive that forgiveness, then there's steps that we have to take. We have to begin to verbalize it. Lord, I have sinned. Please forgive me of my sins. I know you love me. I accept your love. And I will serve you. If we will do that with our lives, if you will pray that prayer, you will see miracles taking place. You will see a change come your way. In verse 18, and I'll go and say to my father, I know we read it. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Verse 19, for I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your servants. He was truly sorry for what he had done, and he was wishing or willing to take the low road, whatever was offered to him. He just knew he didn't want to stay in the pig pen. And we don't want to stay there either because it's evil. He wanted to be connected back to his father. You know, when we're broken, that relationship's broken with the Father. There's something missing in our lives. See, people today live in sin and believe they're okay. So there's no humbling of themselves. There's no asking for forgiveness. They say, I believe. I think it's James 2:19. It says the devils believe there's one God and tremble. We have to do more than just believe. It has to be an action on our part. And these people, a lot of these people are going to church and they're doing great things for God. But when the Lord comes back and the trumpet sounds, where are they going to be? Are they going to be watching and waiting for the Lord to come back? Because I believe the signs of prophecy that are being fulfilled today in our world are showing that Jesus could come back tonight. Amen? That he could come back at any moment. Are you ready? Are you going to be watching and waiting? We have a window, open window today in America and many places of the world to preach the gospel. And it's not just those who stand at this pulpit that are the preachers. You are the preachers. You are the ones that share the gospel. Go to Walmart, go to your grocery store, go to the gas station, go to the restaurant, share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, because there's so many people hungry and waiting. And if we do nothing, nothing will change. Maybe we have an administration that has opened up for the gospel, but the people's hearts are still evil. And their heart needs to change. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that what? The times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord." See, when we give all of our garbage to the Lord and he cleans us up and forgives us, there's a refreshing because his presence comes into our life. And it's almost like there's a fragrance you can smell, a sweet-smelling fragrance that changes our lives. But Amos started out this morning with 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I want to read that also. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." This is the only way that things are going to change in the United States of America. If people will repent and turn from their wicked ways and begin to call upon the Lord, then he will forgive our sin and he will heal our land. So we have that opportunity, that open door today. Let's make use of it. Let's get busy and engage in that. Hallelujah. See, when we're free from guilt and shame, the presence of the Holy Spirit comes, just like I said a minute ago. There's something. We begin to feel that God really cares about every situation we're in, that he loves us and he wants to give us a plan that not harms us. Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to hurt, not to damage you, not to squish you down, but to excel you. Great plans, plans for the future." Hallelujah. And we need the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:17, you know that. It says, "The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." We have and need to very desperately get in the presence of God, because that's where the healing is going to be. Hallelujah. We're going to the last part of which I like is the repentance. True repentance. When there's true repentance, God begins to work the miracles. Somebody said if you play the country music songs backwards, you get your wife back, you get your house back, your dog back, your job back. But when you repent in the kingdom of God, he restores us. We were in Trinidad, the island of Trinidad, and this, religion was he? He wasn't a Muslim, he was... Anyway, he gave up and God gave his testimony. And he shared how everything that he had lost, being a sinner and away from God, how God restored all of that. And when the altar call was given, over 40 people came forward to serve the Lord, to change their lives, because they heard what God does when people repent. When you and I repent, God begins to work miracles. God begins to change things. Hallelujah. So that very popular verse and very important word is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Back when I had an office at the shop, auto shop, I had a picture on the wall of a 57 Chevy that's restored. Some of you understand that and some of you don't. It was a beautiful car, black with all the chrome, and people would sit down there and look at that photo. Wow, that's really nice. And then underneath it, I had the 2 Corinthians 5:17. And those who kept reading would either say, wow, that's really great, or they just put their head down. They thought the car was great, looked beautiful. Well, that's what God does to us. When we come in all rusted and ready to fall apart, God restores us back to this beautiful person that he created in the beginning. Hallelujah. So it's time. It's time we allow the Lord to come into our lives. Hallelujah. So I want to finish my story. My dad and I patched things up with Dad after we were married a while. I went to Dad and we hugged, and we didn't kiss, but we hugged. He forgave me and I forgave him because I thought he had done something wrong for me. But we had a good relationship. In fact, he invited me to become a farmer with him. I already had the auto shop and I didn't want to give that up. So he invited my brother to come and farm with him. But we heard soon after January 1993, I think it was, my dad told the family that he had cancer, throat and lung cancer, and that he was given less than 6 months to live. And it was tough. He was only 72 years old. And he came into my shop, read the paper, and fell asleep every day for about a month and a half, and then he stopped coming. And one day I woke up and the Holy Spirit told me, he said, go see your father. Well, I'm just thinking that. He didn't come in today, so maybe I should go see him. I didn't go that day. But the next day I heard the Holy Spirit say, go see your father. At noon I went out. My dad lived out in the country, about mom and dad, 4 miles out in the country. I went about 1 o'clock. I got in the house. My father and mother were sitting at the kitchen table, just finished eating. Mom got up. She knew I came for something because I didn't go out there very often. Should have, but didn't. Sat down at the table, and Mom cleared the table, and she went in the other room. And I said, Dad, how's our relationship? Okay, no problem. We took care of that years ago. But I had two brothers who were prodigals. I said, how about my two brothers? And he began to cry. I said, should I ask him to come home? He said, please. One lived in Arizona, one lived in Minnesota. And I left there and I got on the telephone, called my brothers, and they both came home. I took him to the house, and my dad ran down the hall, gave him a hug, said, please forgive me. Both of them, he didn't need to hear their story. And there was total restoration. Total restoration. Hallelujah. In this story, in verse 22 through 24, Luke chapter 15. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Oh, I want you to know there was a party. There was rejoicing. There was food. There was dancing. There was everything that's possible. And Pastor shared the two stories in Luke chapter 15 about the 99 shepherd has 100 sheep and he loses one. And he leaves the 99, he goes and finds that one, and when he does, there's a rejoicing because he found that one lost, or the lady who lost the coin, and she does everything to get that coin back. And when she finds it, she says, "Celebrate with me." That's the way our Lord is today. When someone comes back to the Lord, someone changes his life and decides that he will give everything to following the Lord, there's a party. There's a rejoicing in heaven. Hallelujah. So today we can rejoice. And the best robe was the Father's robe. It was reserved for special occasions. See, there should have been a funeral that day, according to the law, according to tradition and culture that they lived in. But there was no funeral. There was a party. Hallelujah. And that's the way the Lord is with us. There's not a funeral. There's a party when we come back to Him and when we surrender it all to Him. And then before I take about 5 minutes to finish my story, actually 2 minutes. Thank you all for listening. When God restores us, just like this story, it's not into slavery. It's into sonship. It's into being a daughter of the Most High. It's being into the Son of the Most High. And, He's our Father. He's not a slave driver. He loves His children. We are His children. Jesus paid the price for all of us. None of us deserve it. We can't be good enough. We don't earn it. But when Jesus hung on that cross, He took care of our sins and our mistakes. And so when we run back to the Father, He doesn't need to hear all of the things. Are you hearing me? He doesn't need to hear all the excuses. He doesn't need to hear the reason that you did things, because He's there. He's there like this. He's there ready to receive you. So Brent, will you come? Prayer teams, get ready. God invites us to come back, not to live in our sin, but to be set free from our sin. Not to live in it, not to practice it anymore, but to be set free from it. So what does the robe stand for? The robe, the ring, and the sandals. The robe was a sign that He was accepted back into the family. It was the Father's robe for special occasions. He was covered with the glory of God. The ring was a sign of sonship and authority. It was like a signet ring that was used to seal letters, important documents. He now gave His Son authority to do whatever the Father would do. That's the way our God is. When we accept Him, we come back home, we repent, He gives us that authority. You're quiet. He gives us authority. Amen. He gives us authority. Jesus isn't here today. He is in spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. But He's passed that authority on to you and to me to take authority over the enemy and the works of darkness, set people free. Hallelujah. And the sandals, your family. See, servants didn't wear sandals. They didn't even wear shoes. Most of them weren't barefoot. Kind of like the Amish do. Seriously, the girls and boys, I grew up all summer long, we went barefoot. Down the gravel road, it didn't matter what. We walked, we were barefoot. In the winter, we did put shoes on. But the Father's saying, give Him sandals, because He's family. Like I said earlier, there should have been a funeral, but there was a party. Bring the fatted calf. The fatted calf was for special occasions. I mean, that was only reserved for special occasions. He told His servants, kill the fatted calf. Let's be merry. Let's rejoice because this my son was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Hallelujah. We are alive today because of the welcoming hands and the arms of the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. See, he didn't need to be punished. That's our God. He doesn't need to punish us for our disobedience. Jesus took care of that. The father runs to his wayward sons with hugs and kisses. That's what he does for us. Today I want us to stand. They said fathers didn't run back in those days. The fathers didn't run, but this father ran. Our father runs. He runs to those who have gone astray, those who have maybe stepped out of the way. I don't know if you're here today or not, that you've maybe misplaced the goal of your life, misplaced the purpose of your life. Maybe you're off chasing the pigs, I don't know. But the Lord wants you to come home. The Lord wants you to be healed. The Lord wants you to be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and the Lord is that Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So we're going to close the service. Our prayer teams are going to be here. If you're one of those that say, look, I really need to come home. There's some things in my life that are not right. First of all, before you come up, I want you to challenge you to just maybe in the presence of the Lord today, you say, lift your hands and you say, I'm one of those. Doesn't mean you have to come up, but you're welcome to come up. But maybe by the lifting of hands, you'll be set free. You say, I was one of those, or I am one of those prodigals that needs to come home. Is that you? You raise your hands in the presence of God. Thank you, thank you. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Say, I know there's some things I need to change in my life. I know there's some things I have to stop doing if I'm going to be ready when Jesus comes. I see those hands. If you want prayer, there's prayer teams up here, but we're going to pray a corporate prayer right now. So together, Father, we come to you with open arms, raised arms, telling you that there's still a lot of junk in our lives that needs to be changed. A lot of things, maybe our thinking, maybe what we watch on TV, what we say, all of these things that need to be redeemed in our lives, Lord, we just give it to you today. And we ask you to forgive us. Make us new. Make us who you want us to be, Lord. Help us to be the one that can say, I'm healed and I'm ready to help you be healed. Help us to be the one that's willing to do whatever you say, Lord. So we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.